Good evening. Welcome to worship this evening at First Federated Church. As with most of our services, the bulletin is the map in which we will use to guide us through this worship service. We are now, I think, week 5 of the Vesper service. We have a few weeks left, and I'm excited and thankful and grateful to be worshiping with you all here and now. As the people of God, we have been called to worship.
Please join me in the call to worship. Sing for joy to God our strength.
Shout to God of Jacob.
In our distress, we call to God.
God answers by blessings.
Praise God.
Praise God.
Would you now join me in the prayer of the day? With one voice, we pray. O God, you pour out the Holy Spirit of grace and love. Deliver us from cold hearts and wandering thoughts, that with steady minds and burning zeal, we may worship you in spirit and truth. Amen. If you are able, you can now stand and sing.
Lord, who throughout these 40 days for us did fast and pray, teach us with thee to mourn our sins and close by thee to stay. As thou with Satan didst contend and didst the victory win, O give us strength in thee to conquer sin. As thou didst hunger, bear, and thirst, so teach us, gracious Lord, to die to self and chiefly live by thy most holy word. And through these days of penitence and through Passion tide, yea, evermore in life and death, Jesus with us abide. Abide with us, that so this life of suffering overpass, an Easter of unending joy we may attain.
When we come into the presence of God, our own humanity is laid bare. We stand in the presence of the living truth, and our own falsehoods is revealed. People of God, let us acknowledge who we are and ask our ever-present God to forgive our sins in a moment of silent prayer, and then together, corporately, we will pray together. Please join me in that silent prayer. And with one voice we pray, Holy and merciful God, in your presence we confess our sinfulness, our shortcomings, and our offenses against you. You alone know how often we have sinned in wandering from your ways, in wasting your gifts, in forgetting your love. Have mercy on us, O Lord, for we are ashamed and sorry for all we have done to displease you. Forgive our sins and help us live in your light and walk in your ways. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. Friends, the good news of the gospel is this: Christ has died for us. So who then is in a position to condemn? Only Christ. And Christ rose for us. Christ reigns in power for us. And Christ prays for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone and the new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace.
Would you please pray with me? Almighty God, may the words of Zach's mouth and the meditation of all our hearts be acceptable and pleasing to you, our rock and redeemer. Amen. Hear now the word of the Lord from Matthew 9, verses 27 through 31. And as Jesus passed on from there, two blind men followed him, crying aloud, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe that I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes, saying, "According to your faith, be it done to you." And their eyes were opened. And Jesus sternly charged them, "See that no one knows it." But they went away and spread his fame throughout all that district. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
At 94 years old, Allison is still vivacious. She is animated and she is lively. She talks freely and candidly, but she never speaks ill of anyone or anything. And she has a particular fashion sense, one that keeps her once blonde hair, curly hair, swooping and flowing like that of Goldilocks. Allison is a delight. Lately, however, she has quieted some. Instead of entering a room with grand gestures, a boisterous hello, and a hop in her step like a child going out to play on the first day of spring, she quietly and carefully enters a room. She shuffles her feet along the floor, making sure to never lift her heel from the ground. Allison is a magnificent person of faith, but things have changed in her life. Her once perfect vision that lasted for decades is diminishing. The doctors have diagnosed her with macular degeneration, which is a somewhat common disease that afflicts those with blindness, afflicts people who have it with blindness. But no matter her limited eyesight, Allison always makes sure that she is on time to the Thursday morning Bible study, and she arrives overjoyed at the opportunity to hear the word of the Lord and then to discuss what God has disclosed about God's self to the group as they study the Bible on Thursday mornings. And it just so happens that a few weeks ago, the Bible study group was dwelling in Matthew chapter 9, verses 27 through 31. And after Allison had heard the passage read aloud, and then there was time for silent dwelling, she peered across the group. She leaned forward and she said, "I can't see you, but if you speak, I know who you are." Allison was pointing to a truth that we find in the biblical passage today. The two blind men in our passage didn't know Jesus because they had seen Jesus. They knew Jesus because they heard him. They had listened to him speak, and they realized that he was the Messiah, the Son of David, the great physician, the Redeemer of the world. And if that is true, which I believe that it is, then there is something curious in our text. Why would Jesus ask the two blind men, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" It is a curiosity because we as Reformed people believe that God is omniscient, that God is all-knowing. In other words, God is the supreme know-it-all.
Every part of every bit of creation is known by God. Nothing is not known by God. So why then would Jesus ask the blind men if they believed he was able to do it? I don't think it was just to test them. I actually think that it has to do with Jesus asking a question of all the other people in the house with the blind men. Those very people who had seen Jesus, who had bore witness to the miraculous healing power of Jesus Christ, and to those who would follow Christ millennia later. He asked this so that they would understand what faith is. And a few weeks ago, at the Stronghold Youth Group Retreat, our theme verse for the weekend was Hebrews 11, verses 1, which states, "Faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things unseen." Allison was pointing this out when she said, "I can't see you, but if you speak, I know who you are." And the youth group wrestled with defining what is faith in the midst of things unseen for the entire weekend. And at the end, they concluded that faith isn't believing something that you have seen. Faith is wholehearted trust in God, especially when we can't perceive the answer or the outcome. Allison knew this truth, and the blind men in the text knew this truth as well. If you were to ask Allison if she had seen Jesus, she would tell you no, she hasn't seen him, but she has heard him speak through the Bible. Believing what she has heard in the Word of God, she has followed Christ with all of her heart, with all of her soul, and with all of her might. She has believed what she has heard in the gospel, and that is faith. Believing what you have heard. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. And I ask of you all now to join me in prayer as we pray as intercessors for our church, for our community, and for all of creation. Please join me in prayer. Merciful God, we praise you for the listening ear that you give to us at all times and in all places. Lord, and we expect that you are listening to us this evening as we have many concerns to lift before you. Lord, within this church, there are those who are afflicted by physical diseases that limit eyesight. We ask that you would guide the doctors and the nurses and the medical staff as they treat those who struggle with sight. Lord, we ask the same for those who have difficulty with hearing. Be with the doctors, the nurses, and the staff as they work to bring hearing to those who have limited hearing. Lord, we also pray for those who suffer from anxiety and worry in this church. Send your Spirit among them that they might know your peace in intimate and in fruitful ways. Lord, we pray for our community as well. We ask that you would bless each and every mission that First Federated Church supports, that you would give them an extra portion of endurance and perseverance and steadfastness and long-suffering, that they might proclaim the good news of the gospel with joy and thanksgiving. Lord, we pray as well for creation. For all the small animals that are waking up with the warming sun of springtime, and for all of the crops that are beginning to grow. Lord, guide and protect all of your creation, that no harm would fall them, but they would live and thrive in unity with you, that the things we do as your creation wouldn't hinder another part of your creation, but only foster places of growth and prosperity. Lord, we pray all of these things in your Son, Jesus Christ's name. Amen. From the east and from the west, from the north and from the south, people will come to take their places at the banquet table of the Lord. Congregation of Jesus Christ, the Lord has prepared his table for all true believers. If you are sorry for your sins and sincerely follow Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you are invited to participate in the Lord's Supper this evening. And would you please join with me in the great prayer of thanksgiving? The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is truly right and our greatest joy to give you thanks and praise, eternal God, creator and ruler of the universe. You are our God, and we are the creatures of your hand. You made us from the dust of the earth, breathed life into us, and set us in your world to love and to serve you. When we rejected your love and ignored your wisdom, you did not reject us. You loved us still and called us to turn again to you in obedience and in love. Therefore, we praise you, joining our voices with the heavenly choir and chorus, and with all the faithful of every time and place, singing your glory. You are holy, O God of majesty, and blessed is Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord. Out of your great love for the world, you sent Jesus among us to set us free from the tyranny of evil. He lived as one of us, sharing our joys and sorrows. By his dying and rising, he releases us from the bondage of sin and frees us from the dominion of death. So together we pray as the Lord Jesus Christ has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debt, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen. The Lord Jesus, the same night he was betrayed, took bread. And after having given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After the same manner also, when they had supped, Jesus took the cup, saying, "This cup is a new testament in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The bread which we break is the communion of the body of Christ, and the cup of blessing which we bless is the communion of the blood of Christ. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. In a moment of logistical conversation, I think there is enough space around the table for us all to join together this evening. So in a moment when you come up, everyone is invited to come forward through the center aisle and then up. When you receive the bread, please feel free to dunk it and dip it, or more theologically sound, dip it into the cup. And then immediately upon doing so, you can participate in the Lord's Supper so that you're not standing with bread in your hands. So once you dip it, please immediately partake of the elements. These are the gifts of God for the people of God. You are free to come forward. If it is prohibitive for you to come up the steps, just give me or Russell a nod or Alex a nod, and we will make sure the elements come to you. Come, for all things are ready.
lives.
Thanks that you have fed us both physically and spiritually at your table. Lord, may these elements be a blessing in our lives that we might shine forth with the radiance of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, guide our thoughts and our actions and our words as we navigate this Lenten season in the eager anticipation of the coming of Easter, the day in which Christ rose from the dead, sealing in us the Holy Spirit and raising us to newness of life. Lord, we give you praise for all good things. In his name we pray. Amen. Join me in the responsive prayer. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and all that is in my being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins
and heals your diseases,
who redeems your life from the pit
and crowns you with love and compassion.
I invite you to stand for the singing of the final hymn.
Glories pass away.
This place, we do so in the knowledge that Jesus speaks to us. He speaks to us through his word, and we listen to what Jesus is saying to us. Friends, may the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you his peace. Amen.